Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Yes, we're related. And Walker's my youngest son.
Is that a good thing for you or a bad thing?
No, I'm proud of you, son.
Good. Thank you.
I mean, you haven't done anything to
disappoint you recently?
Disappoint me recently.
At least today.
I like the word recently.
Recently? you got to have short memories, don't you? Uh-huh. For your kids, right, Ray?
If you don't, it'll never work, right?
Right. No, Walker's doing a good job here for the ministry at American Family. I mean that in all sincerity. Dr. Ray Pritchard joining me to co-host the program from Kansas City. Where he just recently moved. So all the boxes unpacked?
You know, we're down to about 4 or 5, you know, so okay. That's pretty good. 6 weeks in, yeah, it's good. And it's feeling a little bit more like home. You know, you got to find, you know, where's the good Sunday night restaurant? You know, when you're hungry on a Sunday night, every town has got a few places you go on a Sunday night. And we found a few here in Kansas City. A lot of good barbecue here, so we're doing well.
Chris Woodward is in studio with us, taking over for Fred Jackson. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
How are you, sir?
Doing well. I've had some coffee, ready to go.
Okay.
And plenty to talk about today.
Hey, I want to ask Ray something before we go to the news of the day. How much is gasoline per gallon in Kansas City?
It's creeping up toward, I want to say $2.79 is what I saw, $2.89. A couple days, creeping up toward $3. Mm-hmm.
What are we paying, Walker?
We're at about $2.60.
Yeah.
$2.55.
We pay below average here in Mississippi, but below national average. Yesterday, AAA had the national average at $2.94. It's about 60 some odd cents more than this date last year.
Wow. California's over $3.
Right. You're already starting to see the pictures like, you know, I can't believe this.
California's over $3 a gallon?
Yeah, but I will say, when you travel overseas, I know at least in Israel, their gas is outrageously expensive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Europe, too.
In Europe, so it makes you grateful. You know, $3 a gallon, yeah, it's a little high for America, but we're still doing pretty good in comparison.
Yeah. What's amazing is people, they'll roll their eyes and like, oh, here we go again, but they'll just put it in their tank and go about their business.
Yeah, gas is not optional.
I'll tell you what I can't, having a hard time computing, Ray. There'll be a story about how gasoline prices are going up in the U.S., right?
Right.
And then right underneath it is a story about how we've never produced more oil in the U.S. Mm-hmm. than we are now.
So how does that compute? If we're making more oil or producing more oil than ever, how come the prices are going up and not down?
Chris,
does anybody know the answer?
Chris is a newsman. Chris, explain that one to us.
Okay. Well, to be honest with you, as far as the current price problem, it's been attributed to cuts and things that OPEC has done in recent weeks. The uptick in production, I am told, is because of the spike in oil prices. One of the things that people have told me over the years is that, let's say you start pumping more oil, that doesn't mean gas prices are going to go down tomorrow or next week or maybe even next month. It's going to be months from now before you start to see that have an impact, because mm-hmm. it's got to go through, supposedly, the refining process and then get transported to the pump and things like that. And during that time, if conflicts arise in the Middle East or Russia does something somewhere that causes somebody problems, supposedly that increases the problem.
Also,
even
I think we're exporting more than ever before.
Right.
So not all that stank here is what I'm getting at.
We're exporting more oil, mm-hmm. right,
That's
around
right.
the world.
Right.
While our oil yeah. prices are going up.
Right. Well, and talking about California, you know, L.A. is one of the most congested cities in America, if not the most congested city. So they're paying, how much gas are they burning just sitting in traffic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
I tell you what, being stuck in Los Angeles traffic is terrifying.
It's kind of like North Gloucester at Christmas.
Is it terrifying? No, it's no comparison, Chris. Trust me.
North Gloucester at Christmas is pretty bad.
For those who don't know, North Gloucester is here in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Chris, you're embarrassing yourself. You need to go to Los Angeles.
Oh, I know, yeah.
And if I remember correctly, I left LAX going north, and it was 5 o'clock traffic, and it was like, I want to say 8 to 10 lanes of traffic.
Yeah.
And I was in the middle of this, and it's bumper to bumper, and it's bumper to bumper for a couple of hours. And it was absolutely mentally just exhausting. And I was saying to myself, I don't care how good the weather is. Mm. I really don't. And now you got the spot, the smog
right
going on in L.A., but they just, I don't know why people would want, could live in this. And I also came to understand, although I don't condone road rage, but I
sympathize.
But I understand it. Yeah. I understand it because I'm pretty mild mannered, and I was getting angry with people for, you know, darting in and out and stuff like that. So
yeah. Well, anyway, the one funny thing is when I travel to bigger cities, even just Nashville, Tennessee, I'll be talking to folks and they'll say, "Yeah, we got to go across town. It's going to take about an hour." And then they come here and I say, "Well, we got to go across town. It takes about 15 minutes."
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm complaining about going across town 15 minutes.
There are big advantages living in small town America. I can tell you that right now. And one of them is traffic that you don't have to deal with in big city like you do have to deal with in big cities. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's in the news, Chris Woodward?
A lot in the news to pick from, but I think some of the more talked about things at the moment include the so-called Coward of Broward, the school resource officer.
That's
Scott
a song
Peterson.
By Kenny Rogers, isn't it?
You got to know when to hold him. But the Scott Peterson did an interview with Savannah Guthrie of the Today Show, and he basically says, "Had I known then what I know now, I would have acted differently." And he went on to say, basically, "It's not my fault."
The families need to know. I didn't get it right, but it wasn't because of some, "Oh, I don't want to go into that building. Oh, I don't want to face somebody in there." It wasn't like that at all.
You weren't scared?
No, there was no time. Things went so fast.
Were you a coward?
Never.
That's what they called you, the coward of Broward County.
I know. I never had a chance. I never thought even for a moment of being scared or a coward because I was just doing things the whole time. It never entered my mind.
Did you freeze?
No.
I actually think Savannah asked him some good pointed questions. You didn't get a lot of that in that particular thing. She did go on to ask him what kind of information he was getting while he was stationed outside the building, and he went on to say it was minimal. I believe he also said he called 911 at one point and was directed to another county's 911 versus the one he was in. So he's trying to say, a lot of this is not my fault. You need to know the facts. I would have acted differently, that kind of thing. But I don't know at this point if it's going to make any difference, given the tons of articles and surveillance video showing him standing around, things like that. I don't know if it'll make a difference for his
side. But isn't his job to Walker to as security to go into the building and find the active shooter?
Yeah, the training manual.
And he didn't do that?
No, the training manual for the Broward County Sheriff's Department, as it stood the day of the shooting and as it stands today, is to immediately neutralize, take out the threat. The threat at the time being an active shooter in building 4 at the high school there. The sheriff officer, Scott Peterson.
That gentleman we just heard?
Yes. The video shows him. There was some confusion at first, as there is in every emergency situation, but he arrives at the corner of the building where the shooting is taking place. He acknowledges on the radio that that he believes the shooter is in the building that he's standing beside. And for like 5 minutes, he stood at the bottom of a stairway and did nothing. So now people do freeze up in those situations. Mm-hmm. Even very veteran law enforcement officers at times freeze up in active shooter situations. But he cannot with a good conscience say that I did not do anything wrong. Because he did. He did not go into the building and find the threat and neutralize it, and that's what he's trained to do. So,
He didn't help himself in that interview, did he? I mean, if you are a family member of any of those students who were killed or wounded, in that would be nothing he said would be any comfort to you at all. Mm-hmm. It sounded like rationalizations and excuse making. So, why did he even do the interview? Hard to understand.
Yeah, and I never understood exactly, Ray. And I never understood his just sitting there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do something. The old saying, "Do something." It seems to me if you figure out, and he acknowledged that you got shots coming from inside a building. And you're in his position. You got to go inside the building. And he never went inside the building, right?
No.
So that, to me, that's, and I understand we're all human. You could freeze up like you're saying, Walker.
Yeah.
But that kind of, that's all I need to know. And right. I think that's what his boss said, the sheriff. You know, you didn't, the firing's going on inside the building. You know it is, and you're standing outside the building. Your job is to go in and put your life at risk, if need be, to engage the active shooter, lest he just slaughters people inside that school building.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
If you watch the video, right. and it's out there, if you watch the video of him standing at the edge of that building on the outside, all safe and sound, it is very disturbing because it's not 30 seconds. It's like 5 minutes. And he's not rendering first aid to anyone, escorting students out of the building, just standing there, back leaned up against the corner of the building.
No, hearing the shots going off?
Shots are going off. Wow. People are screaming.
Wow.
And just standing there.
Yeah. It would have, I think, made a better case for him early on to do this kind of an interview. But, I mean, it's been months. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of evidence out there people can point to disprove or counter.
I would be surprised if charges are not brought against him. I'm not saying he will be convicted. He may not be convicted. He may be proven innocent, at least from a legal standpoint. But there could be a case made that he did not fulfill his duties.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Chris Woodward, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. You're listening to American Family Radio. You can download our app and listen to AFR anywhere in the world, anytime you want to, as long as you got high-speed internet. So check us out. Download the app. The AFR app takes you 60 seconds to download it, and then you can listen to us clear as a bell anywhere in the world just by clicking on that app on your smartphone or your tablet or your other similar device. Chris, what else you got?
Well, another big topic for today, and we're already seeing some comments from people questioning this policy change, but we'll begin with changes for Miss America. Gretchen Carlson, formerly of Fox News, she's now chair of the Miss America Organization Board of Trustees. She was on Good Morning America today on ABC talking about the changes.
So we are no longer a pageant, we are a competition. We will no longer judge our candidates on their outward physical appearance. That's huge.
That's huge.
And that means that we will no longer have a swimsuit competition, and that is official as of September 9th when we have our competition in Atlantic City. We'll also be revamping our evening gown competition phase as well. And so we're no longer judging women when they come out in their chosen attire, their evening wear, whatever they choose to do. It's going to be what comes out of their mouth that we're interested in when they talk about their social impact initiatives.
Women of all shapes and sizes, because typically we see swimsuit ready bodies up on that stage.
We want to be open, transparent, inclusive to women who may not have felt comfortable participating in our program before. But look, we have always had talent and scholarship, and we need to message that part of the program better as well. But now we're adding in this new caveat that we're not going to judge you on your outward appearance because we're interested in what makes you you.
Now, the Me Too, some of the people involved with the Me Too movement are kind of applauding this and praising it, saying it's a great change for the Miss America competition, as Gretchen pointed out there. No longer a pageant, it's a competition, she says. But I've seen people on Twitter today, which is where everybody goes to share their opinion now, even if people don't ask for it. People on Twitter today are kind of saying, well, if you're still going to do hair and makeup and fancy clothing, that's still making women think you have to do this to make it in society. Todd Starnes, maybe in a joking way, pointed out that, you know, it's who's to stop somebody from coming out there in a Snuggie and flip-flops. Clay Travis, formerly of ESPN, he's done other stuff sports-wise. He basically says, you know, at some point you're just going to have to go to with burkas because you're still putting on a...
well, that means then you got to judge who has the best burka.
Right. And so, you know, it's you're what I think was meant to be something positive and done in the best interest
keep it like
is still
it's
going to
Why can't they just keep it like it's always been? Or am I asking the wrong person?
Because it clashes with the Me Too movement.
Because I think it does clash with the Me Too movement. And Gretchen herself has been involved with some legal disputes with Fox News executives over things she says happened while she was there.
Well, I agree. You know, this you're getting into some area that, quite frankly, I don't care about. But I'll just say this. there is something to be said for being physically fit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a part of, mm-hmm. huh?
Right.
I mean, you've had this. This is part of Boy Scouts and, you know, athletics.
Gymnastics.
So there's something to be said for being physically fit. I don't know how exactly you want to demonstrate that you are physically fit. Now, the bathing suits that these ladies used to wear were much more modest mm-hmm. than the bikinis that I guess that they're wearing today, although I haven't watched the Miss America pageant in a long time, but I see pictures mm-hmm. of the modern day. So I don't, Ray, go ahead and weigh into something you don't care about either.
I was just sitting back here minding my own business.
Okay, you don't, anyway.
You know, I haven't watched it in years, right?
Right.
And I don't know how great the ratings are anyway. So they're not going to have the swimsuit competition anymore, right?
That's what they're saying.
And they're changing the evening gown competition to something women feel more comfortable wearing.
I have mixed feelings about this. I think we all do. I don't know how to
interpret this. No feelings at all?
Or no feelings at all. But I do think it's good that they're going to get out of the skimpy bikinis.
Right.
So maybe kids can watch the show now.
Right. Yeah, we've turned it off.
But I don't think we need to take it so far that we totally deny human nature and that women are beautiful. Right. Some women are beautiful. And that there's something there that we cannot deny a human nature.
Well, I think their scoring has been, over the years, if I understand it correctly, more weighted toward the talent.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Which is appropriate and I think addresses the concern
right.
that people have that this is more than just a bikini contest.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a talent, mm-hmm. whether it be singing, dancing, playing the piano, whatever your talent may be, that's always been weighted more in the Miss America pageant than the swimsuit or the evening gown. So I think that's, to me, that's sort of offset.
All right, Ray's still trying to find something
laughing.
To say.
He's just laughing.
I'm just
out
laughing
loud.
At this.
You all right, let's move on, Chris.
All right. Here's something that I'm still puzzled by, and I'm going to find somebody to talk about it later today.
Well, I sounded like an expert, though, didn't I? Right
you
there.
Did.
You did. You did yeah. good, Tim.
Better than me.
As your employee, you did an excellent
thank
job.
You.
All right.
And that's my commentary on Miss America.
Going back to California, I know we always talk about them, but sometimes they
it never rains there,
themselves into it.
By the way.
There is a story in Breitbart.com. I've seen other things on social media from other sites, people talking about this. But the headline here from Breitbart is, California water law prevents showering and doing laundry on the same day. There are reports out of the Golden State that Democratic Governor Jerry Brown, on the far left, has signed a draconian new water rationing law that limits per capita daily water usage to less than the amount needed to shower and do a load of laundry. California, of course, has been doing a lot of things they say are needed for the environment to conserve this or improve that. So it does fall in line to things Governor Brown has called for.
Wait, is this real or is this fake news?
It's it seems to be real based on the fact I've seen it from other news outlets. That's just one example.
You know what he's talking about here, Ray?
Well, look, if I have to choose, are you saying I'm going to have to choose if I live in California between watering my lawn or taking a shower?
Well, according to
that grass is going to get pretty brown, let me tell you.
Yeah, according to this headline, California Governor Jerry Brown has signed a new water rationing law that limits per capita daily water usage to less than the amount needed to shower and do a load of laundry. So I don't think it's watering your yard. I think that's out of your question. I think it's you have to choose between clean clothes and clean Ray.
So while you're sitting in traffic, you can figure out which one you need more of.
I think this is kind of a disputed news story. I'm looking at Snopes, which Snopes, they're the, quote, fact checkers, but at times they get things wrong.
What do they say?
They're saying it's mostly false. Basically, it's a bill that hasn't been enacted into law yet. So it's still up in the air as far as what the final decision will be, but nonetheless, I think it is truly circulating in California.
Yeah, well, they have been under drought conditions out there.
They have, and they've taken some pretty severe
steps. Watering your lawn has been outlawed in a lot of places in California because of the shortage of water that they've had there.
You're next to the ocean, though. Like, how is it a problem?
Well, that's a good question. You got to convert salt water to fresh water.
You ever try to take a shower or take a bath in salt water?
Yeah.
You got a lot of universities there, good academic institutions. They can figure it out.
I think here's a clarification now that I'm reading more into it. This new water conservation legislation, which did become law last week, starts in 2022.
Oh, okay.
So it starts in 2022, but as far as the basic facts of the story of the regulations, those
that'll never take place. You telling me? You telling
take
me
the showers hot, now, people?
You telling me?
You won't be able to later.
Gwyneth Partlow is going to have to choose between a shower and washing her laundry.
Well, she probably just buys clothes when she.
That's
needs
what I'm talking about.
That's right. She had, for her, there's no problem.
What I'm talking about, this thing will never take effect like that, right? Because. But they are having a serious drought situation out there.
Yes.
All right, what's your next fake news story?
All right, this Chris? One's from CNBC, and it made it on Drudge today. Drudge's headline was, you know, Schultz 2020, and it involves the outgoing CEO of Starbucks, Howard Schultz. He's been on the way out for a long time now, kind of a retirement, kind of walking
away.
Is he
the founder?
Giving someone else. If he's not the founder, he has been there since the beginning. I can tell you that for sure.
Of Starbucks.
Of Starbucks, yep. And he's been a political figure for a while. He's talked about things. He's endorsed this and that candidate and things of that sort. But apparently now that he's stepping away from the CEO position at Starbucks, he's going to be kind of a CEO emeritus, if you will. Some people already want to just go ahead and hand him the nomination to some party to run for president. CNBC says Howard Schultz established himself as a player in politics before he decided to leave Starbucks. Some people, again, are pushing him, and it's been wondered as to whether or not he would actually run for office for several years now. But being that we have a businessman in the Oval Office, certainly people were ready to nominate Oprah, how many ever months ago it was at this point. It's not out of the question for a business person to immerse himself or herself into politics. My question
is he a liberal?
He is a liberal, and that may be an understatement. He's probably on the far left of a lot of liberals when it comes to things.
He's a flaming?
He would be more in line with the – I think he supported Hillary, but I think really when you look at some of the things he's supported, spoken out for, he's maybe more in line with the
Bernie
Sanders crowd. He might feel the burn, which makes sense because he works at Starbucks.
And he's the CEO?
He's the CEO
of Starbucks, and he's a Bernie Sanders fan?
Well, I when you look at his politics, I would say he probably falls more to the left.
They're pretty left. Remember, they shut down their whole corporation last week.
And that's what I think is going to come back to bite him if he were to run.
Yeah, but, I know it was Starbucks and Amazon were objecting to a city tax in Seattle.
Seattle.
To combat homelessness.
To support the homeless, and Starbucks was one of the... Mm-hmm. main ones objecting to this tax, which is against Bernie Sanders would be for it, for example.
Yeah.
And so if Schultz is a Sanders type politician, anyway, I would doubt he would be.
He's conservative when it comes to higher taxes.
You know, tax everybody but me.
Right.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are just about out of time on the program today. What are you guys doing over there at One News Now? Can people subscribe to your daily news alert?
Yes, go to onenewsnow.com. You can sign up for emails. You can check out all of our news, not just staff articles, but Associated Press material. And we also have political cartoons that you can check out at the bottom right of the page.
Ray, thank you for being on with us today, brother.
Thanks, Tim. Enjoyed it.
Okay, Walker, thank you for your contributions.
Yes, sir.
It's Tuesday, so we shall see you back here tomorrow. Hope you have a great rest of the day. And join us back here tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues on American Family Radio.